This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And we've had another interesting week in technology. Actually, another interesting few weeks in technology because I've been gone for a couple of weeks. But I'm back in the saddle and enjoying every minute of it. We're going to talk about, in Profile in IT, a guy that actually was instrumental in the sound business, and we all have his kind of sound options in our speakers. Bose, the man who started Bose speakers. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting story.
Legendary.
And I like the way he does research on new products, because it sort of indicates how we should do and emphasize innovation within this country so that we can keep the competitive edge.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, of course, since we've last talked, they've come down with the net neutrality ruling at the FCC. I don't agree with that. I'm going to give you I have a copy of the ruling here, and I read the dissenting opinions by the two Republicans on the two Republican commissioners who voted against it. The three Dems voted for it. And I'll talk about the pros and cons of it, and what they say the advantages are, and what I contend the disadvantages are. The Computer Electronics Show was this week. This was a hot ticket. We're going to review later in the show what's going on with tablet devices, smartphones, internet TV, and they featured cars. You know, cars are now a big item now.
Sure.
Intel also announced a new chip architecture, the Sandy Bridge. And if you're going to be getting a laptop or something soon, I'd just wait around till you get a Sandy Bridge chip.
You have to wait around and hear what that's all about.
Yeah, they're not actually out there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to review Voyager a bit. This was something that Voyager just left the solar system. We'll talk about that. That actually happened a couple of weeks ago, but you know it's still an interesting story. And
the space stuff. I
love it. And there's a really an iPhone app of the week that I just love. This I don't have an iPhone, but I love this app. And a lot of people at Stratford do have iPhones.
Yeah,
it's called the World Lens. It's kind of an interesting item.
Of course, this is the week where iPhone is no longer exclusive to AT&T. It's Verizon now too. I heard yesterday, if I'm not mistaken.
Did they finally make the announcement? They've been waiting all week at the Computer Electronics Show for that announcement.
Yesterday.
Did they finally make the announcement?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. That, you know what that means. And, you know, it means I'm going to have to share bandwidth with all those with all those bandwidth hogs.
That's true.
It's going to be.
Well, I'm on AT&T. It hasn't really affected me, and I don't have an iPhone.
You don't have an iPhone, but you don't use any bandwidth. It's not going to affect you.
I can get on the web with my phone, and
you can get on the web with your phone. Really,
yeah, I can. Yeah. Why do you look at me like I'm?
I thought you had one of those old flip phones. You know, from the 1900s.
My phone's charging back here. No, it's got a crank on it, right?
Yeah.
No, it's actually a nice phone. It's got an FM radio in it.
Oh, of course, yeah. But listen, we're on AM radio, Jim. What's that? What, you know? Why don't you have a built-in AM radio?
You know, that's the crazy thing. I wish it had AM radio on it, because I would use it a lot more, frankly, if it did.
Well,
listen to my favorite station, 1500 AM.
It's also a very big week for the mailbag. It's a heavy, heavy mailbag.
Let's hope there's nothing in there that sparks or fizzles.
No, not at all. And so now it is time for.
Wait a minute. Where'd he go? He's right here.
Mr. Big Voice.
He started off the year.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Got the wrong pot up. Sorry about that.
What? You got the wrong pot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. You take that the wrong way. The wrong potentiometer. Doc,
yes,
you should know better.
I know what you meant. I know exactly what you meant. We got an email from a regular Maryland listener. Dear Dr. Schertz, I originate many phone calls daily from my home office. using voice over IP. This is voice over internet protocol.
Yes.
That would be like Skype or like Vonage. I use UMA. So you're basically using your internet bandwidth for phone. Today in mid-afternoon, I could call several Maryland numbers, and the party answering could not hear me, although I could hear them. They kept saying hello while I talked, and then they hung up. One person said she could only hear every third word that I was saying. Vonage says the problem is caused by my ISP.
Hmm.
How do I troubleshoot this? Vonage is going to have some tech support person call me to help me troubleshoot, but my experience varies with them.
And, the doc left out part of the email.
Yeah.
As opposed to the physical location of the tech support person.
Yeah, she wanted somebody from the U.S.
Right, there you go.
She didn't want anybody in the Philippines
That's
per her request.
Delicate way. Oh, yeah. You spilled the beans.
My experience varies. What do you think I should do? Thanks, a regular Maryland listener. Well, in fact, voice over IP does depend on bandwidth. And there are two kinds of bandwidth that you've got downlink bandwidth from the internet to your phone. So the people who are talking to you, their voice stream is coming over the downward bandwidth. And then, of course, you've got the upload bandwidth, and your voice over IP is on the upload bandwidth. And frequently what happens, your upload bandwidth is not really that much, and you've got a lot of download bandwidth. And so, in fact, them saying you should look at your ISP is a pretty good idea, and look at the particular data plan you have. And if you do not have much upward bandwidth, you can actually that can be taken by other factors. So the first thing I do is I want to get a bandwidth check, and you can check your own bandwidth. You don't have to have tech support do it. You go to a website called broadbandreports.com, broadbandreports.com, and they have a tools section. There's a drop-down menu, a tools section, and they have internet speed reports. Click on that, and it will download and upload various files, and it will measure your download and upload speed. That's actually the data that you need. And so it could very well be that during certain time periods, certain peak time periods, that your upload bandwidth is dropping off. I know that you really didn't like that answer, but whenever you got a voice over IP problem, it normally is your bandwidth connection.
What's a good upload speed?
Well, it depends what else is you have going. You only really need 64 kilobits per second for a voice over IP channel. You can even do it with 32 kilobits per second. But the problem is if you're sharing it with other things, I would hope that you would have an upload speed of say, that you know, maybe 200 kilobits per second, something like that probably enough upload bandwidth. But you can check it, and when you talk to the Vonage people, they're going to have some experience as to what the upload bandwidth is. Now, the other time that you could have a problem talking to people on voice over IP, of course, what you didn't tell me is whether you were calling a POTS line or another voice over IP number.
Mm-hmm.
If you're calling another voice over IP number, they could have a bandwidth problem at their end. If you're calling a POTS line, plain old telephone line, plain old telephone system line, you wouldn't have that problem. Sometimes when I call overseas, I'll get lost, dropped calls, because when you traverse into another country, sometimes there are bottlenecks going in and out of the country. But these sound like domestic calls that you were making. But I think you're on the right track. I basically have UMA at my house, and I configured my router to make my UMA traffic the number one priority, because when my son visits, he has these various peer-to-peer networking with downloads and uploads of only
music, right?
Of only, you know, music which can be legally downloaded. And so
he says with a smile, for those of you not watching on Home and Garden TV this
and
morning.
So what happens is that if that's going on, he hogs all the bandwidth, and I don't have any voice over IP bandwidth left. So what I've done, I've configured my router to ensure that the voice over IP bandwidth is always the number one priority, and I've set the peer-to-peer download as the last priority. And so that has solved my problem there. So it could be you've got somebody else in the house. downloading or uploading MP3s using a peer-to-peer file sharer, but it didn't sound like you would have that situation, but that is also a possibility.
So if you she didn't have enough upload speed, the situation might be she'd have to buy a better plan from Vonage. Is that the deal?
No, no, she'd have to buy a better... No, it's not from Vonage, from her internet service provider. She'd have to get... She'd have to get a higher, a better connection with the internet service provider. And it turns out, you see, that on certain plans, especially the you know, see, I don't know whether you are in, whether you have Fios or whether you have ADSL. And so it depends on some of the plans. The upload speed is really minimal. And they, because on ADSL, they have only have so many channels and they don't really give you many for upload. And most of the channels are download. So I would just check on that and let Vonage. Then when you go back to the Vonage tech support, you can tell them what your upload and download speed is, and they could tell you whether this would be adequate for their particular degree of compression.
Wait a minute. Sidebar. Mm-hmm. You said when your son comes over and gets on, he's out of college. He graduated last year, isn't he? Didn't he?
He did, but
what's he hanging around the house for?
Well, no, he comes back for Christmas vacation,
okay,
and you know, he's actually working down in Richmond.
Oh, good.
So, but he comes back at various times.
I gotcha.
You know, and
being a smart guy,
I know. And I'll tell you, when he first started doing that, I couldn't figure out why my internet wasn't working, and I had to put some. I actually put some, and of course, he would never admit that that was going on. So I had to put some sniffers on my wireless network. And I could sniff out every packet, so I figured out what was going on. Because I am at home the system administrator.
I understand.
So I could take care of that without
King
any trouble.
Of the castle.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I got an email from Lauren. She said, "Dear Dr. Schertz, I use Outlook Express and a Verizon.net email account to send most of my business and work-related emails. I currently work from home and have a wireless network connection. On the 29th of December, I sent three separate emails to three employees at a federal agency with a particular Word attachment. Two of them arrived, and the third one did not. The one that did not arrive, I did not receive a confirmation that they had read it. The other two, I did get a confirmation. Is it possible that that somebody is trying to block my email account because the one that didn't get through was going to the head of the agency, and maybe they wanted to block my email? Also, I have another question that's sort of related to this. Many times when I send out a request checked on the email, I only get it back sometimes. I don't get it back all the times. I don't really understand why I get it back sometimes and don't get it back all the times. Could you kind of clarify that for me? Well, I think probably the email that you sent, I think it's unlikely that they would block it. It probably went to spam. I mean, one of the problems is
they didn't see it, right?
They didn't see it. I mean, a lot of times, depending on how they have the spam filter set, you could have emails that would go to spam. They really don't need to have your IP address to block you. They know your email address. If they wanted to block you, they could simply say any email from this particular person at this email address, put it directly into spam. They could do that if they wanted to. Highly unlikely that they would. Now, as to whether this receipt, this request for whether the email's been read or not, that's actually optional whether the reader sends that back. And what I've done on my email client, I've turned it off. I never send back that I've read the email.
Mm-hmm.
I don't provide any information unless I want to provide the information. So I've got no automatic responses that I've read the email. So if you'd send an email to me and ask for a notification when I read the email, you would never get it. Even though, in fact, I would read the email because I turn it off. So the reason why you don't get it is that people that don't want you to receive it simply say no. And you can set your email client up to email client to either never send them or prompt you when to send them. And they could simply say no and it's not sent. I have mine set up so I never send them just because I don't like anything done automatically on my behalf.
I understand.
We got another email. This kind of interesting. This one came from Robert. "Dear Dr. Schertz, I was recently reading an article on the internet about IP version 4. That's the current version of the internet protocol, which is on the internet. And I read that we're about to run out of IPv4 addresses next year. They're almost out of them. The article stated that we'd eventually have to switch to IPv6. That's version 6. sooner because we were going to run out of IPv4 addresses. Could you explain these terms, and will my wireless router, which I just bought, have to be replaced because of the switch to IPv6? Thanks for such an entertaining and informative show. I listen to the show via iTunes podcast every week. Robert. Okay.
Good.
We like our iTunes listener.
We love them.
IPv4 is the current one, and when that has an address space, which is 4 bytes or 32 bits. And if you go and calculate how many total possible addresses are, there aren't that many with only 32 bits of space. And what has happened, the United States has actually allocated to itself about 80% of those, and the other 20% are allocated to countries around the world. And in fact, we are running out of IP addresses. And so that's why when you get an internet service provider, you may not have a constant IP address assigned to you. It's just dynamically reassigned whenever you come back in because they don't have enough IP addresses to go around to everybody. Now, IPv6 fixes this. It has an address space of 128 bits, which would be instead of 4 bytes, it would be 16 bytes long, 128 bits. A byte, of course, is 8 bits.
Mm-hmm.
So with 128 bits in the address space, you've got a lot of address space. I mean, you almost have enough addresses for every atom in the earth or something. It's some huge, huge number that we wouldn't need. And so the IPv6 was designed to solve that address space restriction problem. It also has more built-in security. It has built-in encryption. It also has more quality of service features because now when IPv4 came out, we weren't running voice, video, and data all in the internet. Now they're all mixed in together, and you know, if you're making a voice call, you'd just as soon have the voice come through in a very regular fashion and sent by email or by data. You don't care if that's delayed a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd want quality of service for voice and for data. And so they have built-in quality of service features. IPv6 has been around for a while. And what's happened is that IPv4 is just working so well that the switchover is just really going along slowly. And the United States, because we've hogged 80% of the addresses, says, well, you know, we don't have a problem here. And so I don't think we're going to actually switch over until there's going to be some sort of regulatory requirement that it's done. The government has now required that all of their servers support IPv6. I know all of the hardware that you buy now, you just bought a router, it's going to support IPv6. Your Windows client, the latest Mac clients, all support IPv6. So you actually could switch over to be all IPv6 within your house very easily. You wouldn't have to buy anything new at all. Now, the problem is all the websites that are out there are IPv4. And the websites are reluctant to flip over to IPv6 because maybe they can't be seen by the IPv4 people, mm-hmm. and so they got to have dual websites. And so everybody has to flip over at the same time. And I have to say the Bob Kahn and Vint Cerf, sort of the driving forces behind the internet, are quite disappointed that the transition to IPv6 is running about 10 years behind schedule. I mean, it's been around for a while, and they just – it's like pushing a string.
Mm-hmm.
And I think eventually maybe there will be some, and I think once you get enough critical mass, we'll flip over to it, and hopefully that will be in the next few years. But we've been waiting for many, many years for that to happen. It'll be a good switch. That was a good question.
Excellent.
Always
question.
Make certain when you buy new hardware that it does support IPv6. You can always look that up. I don't think now you can buy anything that doesn't support IPv6. I think that standard's out and it's baked in and it's built into all the systems.
Interesting.
Okay.
Well, those two guys you just talked about, we've talked about on Profiles in IT, Vint Cerf and
Bob Kahn.
Bob Kahn.
I've had him on as a guest on Tech Talk too, you know, years back.
I bring this up because Profiles in IT is next.
Yes, indeed.
It is. And today, I'm looking forward to this because you got somebody really cool today.
Yeah.
It's kind of in my wheelhouse.
He's an interesting guy.
Yep.
I do like him, and I like his approach to innovation as a man who started the Bose Corporation.
All right. Well, that's coming up next. Profiles in IT here on Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. We have somebody just walked in the studio here. Yeah.
What microphone are you on, David? What microphone is that? Can you tell me?
This is really... Is it even plugged in?
Well,
oh, yeah. Here we go.
I'll just turn them all on.
You
want to
go this one?
Yeah, why don't you go with that one?
Want to go this one?
That's three.
Yeah, okay. I don't know which one this is. We got some very complicated...
He's wearing one glove. What is going on?
This is pretty professional, isn't it?
There we go.
Mr. Marconi is...
See, the thing is, when there's more than one... When you have an extra mic, you never know which one you're on. It's better if we only have the number of mics to match the people.
There's six of them in
here. How rude. Do you want to introduce me? I mean...
Ladies and gentlemen...
Here I am. That's it.
Wait a minute. We have the David Byrne introduction.
Oh God,
let's just do that.
Okay, here we go.
It's not there.
It's not there.
Wait a minute. Here it is.
Okay.
Here's the...
The party don't start till I walk in.
Hi, folks. This is David
Byrne. I thought the virtual lounge would have better hors d'oeuvres. Where are the donuts? Byrne. Come on.
Culinary department.
You're
let
making
me down.
Money hand over fist. Where's the donuts?
The culinary department just let
they're
me God. Down. I don't
He's
know.
He's the cheapest guy
on,
I know.
They're closed on Saturdays.
He's cheap. You got that big university. You got the big school of culinary
He's
stuff.
He's got two restaurants now,
two
right?
Two restaurants? You think he brings some food in?
Hey,
no.
That's... By the way, what is it? The Cafe Kareem, or what is the one in Woodbridge?
In Kareem, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where does that come from?
He's another culinary luminary.
I thought either one of us, your two loyal sidekicks, would have gotten some sort of props.
Enough of the food. I got stuff to talk about. I want to be real quick here.
Sorry.
Have you seen all the competitors now jumping on the iPad? Now they got a better pad. The iPad 2 is coming out and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I know you got your free pad.
Out at the Computer Electronics Show, there are probably 100.
100.
Marianne
100
got
pads
the free pad.
Yeah. 100. Oh, Marianne got the free pad. Well, why is it Marianne gets all the freebies and you don't?
Because she signs up for them all. But then when she wins it.
Right.
I get it.
I'm with you, Bob. Yeah, I'm with you. So anyway, let's talk about the iPad. I gave mine away, believe it or not. I gave it away.
Why?
That was a
and
big
now I regret
mistake.
It.
That's
it
a big mistake.
Huge mistake. Well,
because all these great apps are coming out for
the iPad 2 is coming.
Yeah.
And I think I'll go for that one.
You should go for that one.
Because
yeah.
there were a couple of flaws with the original iPad, which I know you've brought to light many
yes,
times.
Yes.
Many, many times.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind.
Do.
I don't mind bringing those to light.
Do you have any new toys you want to share with me?
No, I don't have any.
Yes, you do.
No, this is my old. This is use my old BlackBerry.
Norman, you figure out a way.
Oh, I do have the Xbox Connect at home.
Ooh, Xbox Connect.
Xbox Connect with that. Ooh, with good. That, you know, yeah. So
wow. And I'm my pocket protector just went off on that one.
See, the thing is, I am really good at hang gliding with that.
Oh God, you probably got a Wii at home too, don't you?
No, I don't have the Wii.
Really?
No, I don't have the Wii because I got the Connect because I had to do research for Tech Talk.
Yeah, it helps
right.
him think.
Research for Tech Talk.
He just told me it helps him think.
Yeah, I got it helps me think.
It helps me think.
Anyway, now Verizon's going to have the iPhone. Is that correct?
Yes.
And they actually truly do have a true 4G network. Not
Verizon has a 4G network in selected cities.
What does that mean?
Well, we're one of the cities.
One of them?
We're one of the cities.
Well, it better be since the FCC's here.
We are one of the. Now I'm going to be talking about the FCC. I'm not happy with the FCC
Uh-oh.
These days with this net neutrality stuff.
Wow.
I'm
wow.
not happy with them
He's
at all.
He's not happy at all.
No, I'm not. The
I'm not happy.
Nobody's happy.
No. I've got their rulings. I'm going to go through
that. Rulings.
Yeah, I've got their ruling. I'm going to go through them later in the show.
Really?
This will be, yeah.
Oh, God. He's going to go through the ruling
yeah.
on the show?
Right after we talk about the space elevator.
Dave,
can we read the Constitution first?
Dave, this is radio.
It's only an hour show.
This is radio, so I'm doing the abbreviated.
Oh, okay.
I've reduced the rulings down to one sentence.
I was going to say, Jim, you got any B12? Man, this is going to be a long show, buddy.
I was thinking Gold Pro is what I was thinking.
Anyway, so just some quick advice because I'm over to the company buffet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
The iPad 2 or just wait for another competitor to Motorola? Have you seen the Motorola version?
I think the iPad 2 is going to try to one-up all the ones who are out at the Computer Electronics Show. See, the thing is, Apple never goes to CES.
They don't need to.
Boycott it, and then about 2 months later, they've got their own show of Apple products.
It's all about
and
us.
So they wait to see what's going to be at CES, and then they can just one-up everything announced at CES.
Now, lastly, I'm representing the audience here, guys, because they don't get their rulings off. I know. Just bear with me. Remember when the VCR first came out and it was like $1,100?
Yeah, right.
Now you can get it for like $35.
Right.
Yeah.
And
when's the iPad going to be like reasonable? It's like, what, $800?
It's never going to be reasonable as long as Apple sells it.
Because it'll be a new improvement
because
every year, right?
Apple's strategy is to keep all the hardware proprietary, all the software proprietary, so that it's not commoditized, so that they can charge more for it.
Right.
And you look at any of the Apple products, they always cost more than the other products.
True.
Okay, I'm kind of depressed now.
So
Why did you give away your iPad?
What?
Why did you give away the iPad?
Because I don't want to have to pay another fee. I got an iPhone that does everything the iPad really does. Are you with me on this, Doc?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Pretty much the same.
But see, you could have just used the Wi-Fi connection. You didn't have to get 3G for it.
Really?
Stunned silence in the other side of the room.
Got real quiet.
You actually didn't have to get the phone service for it.
Really?
$800 down the tube.
Well, I need. Well,
so it's got built-in Wi-Fi. You could have used it at home. You got
what
you've
pad,
got.
Right?
You have the pad. You've upstairs. You've got Wi-Fi here at work. You got Wi-Fi at home. You just couldn't do Wi-Fi in the car. But I've not seen many people using the iPad in the car while they're driving.
I haven't either. No, and I don't want to see that.
You need to look harder, I think.
Don't want to see that. Well, the reason being because all publications are having applications for the iPad.
The iPad is actually the interface that I hate to admit it, but the interface they came up with is really a good one.
Did you see his face, man?
This, you know, people have been trying to come up with they call these tablets if you're not in the
tablets.
They've come up with a tablet computer for a long time.
Yeah, tablets.
And really, there were a lot of failed tablets before the iPad came out.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so
where's your confidence level with the Motorola version? Have you seen this yet?
No, but it's going to be based on an Android operating system. I actually think Android is going to be tough. It's going to be tough competition.
Hey, that's
for
blasphemous
Apple.
Talk.
Yeah.
That's blasphemous talk.
So I'm thinking.
Thanks
the
for
Android,
backing me up, Jim.
This is the thing. Because the Android operating system is free.
Oh. Yeah.
And because they don't have this proprietary hardware lock.
Are we going into a Linux talk
I think these knockoff iPads are going to be a lot cheaper.
Oh, I don't want knockoff. I want
you're
talking to
Mary Ann. You are an Apple purist.
Yeah. I am a purist.
Well, see, Marianne's won an iPod and an iPad.
Yeah, I know. Man.
So I'm waiting for her to win the iPad,
what
too.
What is she doing this morning? I want to take her by a 7-Eleven, yeah, buy a lotto ticket.
You're about 3 days late for that, aren't you?
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for me busting on your show.
Hey, thanks. It's nice seeing you, David. Happy New Year to you.
As well, thank you.
No, that's about it.
Oh, it's your show. That's right.
Yeah. I've got to get right to these ruling FCC rulings.
Wish I could stick around.
Hey, what's big upstairs today? What's your question today?
Has football gotten wussified?
Stunned,
wow, got quiet on that one.
Oh, my goodness.
I think that's the stare of I don't care from the room.
Exactly.
You guys are the
geek
den here.
Go ahead and read those regulations.
Okay, we're going to get right on that.
David Byrd, everybody. Doc, take a break or just go?
Yeah, we'll take a break and then we'll come back for Profiles in IT.
That sounds a great idea. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 1077 FM HD2, 1035 FM HD2. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Today we're going to be talking about Amar Bose. Amar Bose, he, of course, is the man who is founder and chairman of the Bose Corporation, the speaker company.
Yeah.
But they're also in, they also have electronic suspension for cars. They're into a lot of different product areas. Amar Gopal Bose was born November 2nd, 1929, in Philadelphia. His father was an Indian from India, not an Indian freedom fighter, who basically fought the British in the 20s. And he fled Calcutta so that he wouldn't have been prosecuted by the British for insurrection. And they moved to the U.S., of course. He moved over to Philadelphia. During World War II, his dad really was not able to earn enough money in his normal. During World War II, he was actually importing products from India as a business. And during World War II, they embargoed all non-military shipments. So his business just went up in smoke. His father's business went up in smoke. Mm-hmm. And so he enlisted friends as his co-workers, and he set up a small home business repairing model trains and home radios. And he supported his family doing that.
Interesting.
And so he basically paid any shopkeeper that would refer business to him for a radio repair or model train repair would get 10% of whatever he would do. After the war ended, Bose took surplus radar tubes and an oil burner transformer to build the neighborhood's first television set.
An oil burner transformer?
Yeah.
An oil-powered TV?
Oil-filled transformer. Now, so he actually had kind of a bent for electronics, and he liked to play around with things and figure out how things worked. In 1947, his father borrowed $10,000 so that Bose could attend MIT. I don't think $10,000 would go that far now. But
no,
but
certainly his dad not. Wanted, it might get you through a semester.
Dad wanted to go to MIT. He did earn a bachelor's in science and electrical engineering from MIT in the early 1950s. After he graduated from MIT, he spent a year in the Netherlands working for Philips Electronics Research Lab, and then he spent another year in New Delhi as a Fulbright research student. I think his dad was getting a little worried about him. These are, 2 years out of school, still didn't have a real job yet, still just Fulbright. But he decided to come back to the U.S. after his Fulbright scholarship was over, and he went back to MIT to work on his Ph.D. And he did complete his Ph.D. from MIT a few years later, and his thesis was on nonlinear systems.
Mm-hmm.
Following graduation, he took a position at MIT as an assistant professor. Now, this guy was actually a very, very innovative teacher. And so there are two things I liked about him. I liked the way that he taught, and I liked the way that he innovates in his company. This is one reason I wanted to highlight him here. He actually, when he started teaching at MIT, he said, he says really teaching is kind of secondary if you work at MIT, because they want you to publish papers, and everybody works on becoming tenured.
Mm-hmm.
And teaching is just like something you have to do, and it's like bottom priority, really. Well, he took teaching seriously, and he decided that he wanted students who could actually ask tough questions and try to go through a problem-solving process to answer them. So when he set up his classroom, he basically brought in 9 chalkboards in there, and he broke his class up into teams, and they would be proctored, and they would, as teams, work on problems. And they actually were doing real live, innovative thinking in class as they were working on these problems. And the in the beginning, the kids really complained about him because they had to do about 20 hours of homework a week for his class.
Well, he might actually learn something that way.
Yeah, and they he basically eliminated time limits on tests, and he made all of his tests open book. He said, "I want you to be innovative, like you'll be innovative on the job." And he almost got a cult following within MIT because he was that kind of teacher who really makes a difference to you and to the way you think. And so the students started calling it Engineering Life 101 because he taught you how to be an engineer and how to problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
So he was truly innovative as a teacher. He, by the way, he stayed on the faculty of MIT even after he started the Bose Corporation. He was a professor in acoustics research at MIT until the year 2000, and he started the Bose Corporation in 1964. Now in 60, he loved classical music, and when he was going to school as an undergraduate, he showed up there. He liked to tinker around and explore, but he realized when he got to MIT, he didn't have any math background. Mm-hmm. He didn't have calculus. He was woefully underprepared for the engineering department there at electrical engineering department there at MIT, and so that he had to study really hard to catch up because of his deficient high school experience. And so he did not listen to any classical music while he was in school, and that was what he loved to listen to. And he just studied all the time. He did that all the way through his graduate degree, too. Just studied, because he was focused on really being the best engineer he could be. So when he graduated, he gave himself a gift. He says, okay, now that I've graduated, I can listen to my classical music. So he went out and he bought the best sound system that he could afford.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wanted to get concert-like sound in his house. And he brought it home. And he bought this high-end stereo system, got it all set up, and he was quite the audiophile and the music connoisseur. And he played this high-end system, and he was woefully underwhelmed by its performance. He said, "This thing is just not worth the money. This mm-hmm. is terrible." And so he said, I should be able to do something better. He said, this doesn't sound like a concert hall at all. And so then he started doing research on how to improve speaker technology, and he came up with this method of thinking about the acoustics called psychoacoustics. how you listen to music. And it turns out when you're listening to music in a concert hall, most of the sound that comes to your ear has bounced off a surface before it gets there. Mm-hmm. Most of it is reflected sound. Mm-hmm. Very, very small amount of sound comes directly from the speaker to you. Because you subtend a very small angle for the speaker, so a small amount comes directly from the speaker, but most of it comes from sound which bounces around the room, and that bounced sound has a different feel, a sound to it than straight there, and there's also a slight time delay in the sound,
right?
And that tends to give you depth to the music, and so people like this concert hall look. And so he said, well, why are we building speakers that have just directly focused sound? Why don't we base it on reflected sound? So he came up, he designed the Bose 901 speakers, which actually had nine small speakers in it. Eight of the speakers were back in the back of the speaker, and they would bounce sound off the wall, and only one small speaker was forward-looking. So that automatically meant that eight-ninths of your sound would be bounced signal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a pretty good idea, and his advisor and mentor, Dr. Y.W. Lee, I was talking to him, and he convinced him by through his conversations that maybe he should start a company because he had these great ideas, and these are ideas that could sell, and so he started a company. He got some angel investors to invest. His mentor, Dr. Y.W. Lee, actually invested $10,000 in the Bose Corporation, and he started it out. He had a student that he really liked, and his first employee was one of his students when he started the company. Now, in 1960, the company was started in 1964. They had an initial speaker that they released. It wasn't the Bose 901. It was sort of, it had reflective sound, but it didn't have the nonlinear circuitry in it that actually made the Bose 901 so good. And so in 1968, he came up with the Bose 901, which was the nine speakers that I talked about, eight right. backward-looking, one forward-looking. He also had a nonlinear device in there because the problem is that when you have speakers and you want the full range of say treble down to bass, they have different size speakers for this. And he had very tiny speakers, and of course the tiny speakers for them to reproduce very low frequency sound, they it's really sort of off of their bandwidth area. So in order to get low frequencies out of it, you've got to boost the low frequency signal to really hit them hard with low frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So then he put this nonlinear device in there that would boost the low frequency so you could get a low frequency sound even out of these small speakers. And the Bose 901 was a huge success. And actually, I love the Bose 901 system. There were actually, back when this first came out, there were bootleg designs of it. And I actually built a Bose 901 speaker
set. Did you
really? I built one. We, you know, cut the wood. I put rosewood veneer on it. We actually made our own printed circuit board of all the nonlinear circuits. We were breaking some rules. These were bootleg designs.
Uh-huh.
And so we
were you in college when you did this?
Yeah. Well, I was right out of college. Uh-huh. I was working at Night Vision Lab. A bunch of tech guys got together, and then one guy said, okay, I'll lay out the circuit board, and somebody else bought the electronics. And so we actually put together our own circuit board with the nonlinear circuits, and we built these things, and it was quite a lot of fun. So I really got to know the Bose 901 really well.
Did it sound like the original?
That was a great, yeah, it sounded really good. It was a very good idea. Of course, we were using patent. We could not have sold it because we were using
right.
his patents.
Sure.
And so, like, that nonlinear amplifier was one of his patents, and so we couldn't use that. In 1978, he went on an airplane, and there was all this background noise,
yeah.
and he just got fed up with it. And so he got the idea. He says, well, why can't I use acoustic noise cancellation in headphones to block the noise? So he invented the acoustic noise cancellation headphones, and initially, he was just going to get them for pilots so they wouldn't have to hear all that noise.
Right.
But they became really popular items, and so that was another item. What he did, whenever he sees a problem, he just sort of works on solving it. In 1982, he developed audio systems for automobiles. I mean, it's the same kind of thing as the concert hall. You basically have to take the acoustic properties of the of the interior of the automobile, and you have to adjust your audio system to compensate for it so you can get concert sound out of it. And he did that, and so there. I mean, in my car, I've got a Bose audio system in my car, and so it was, and he was just trying to solve a problem there. In the late 1980s, he got involved with the Bose suspension system for automobiles. You see, he's not only sound; he just works on anything that interests him.
Mm-hmm.
What it is, he looked at automobiles, and then he actually looked at auto. He worked, and he actually this was after working 24 years in research. So he started working on this thing in the late 60s. He looked at automobiles and he said, you know, this shock absorber system is really rudimentary. They've got this, viscous damping system here, and they've got to have different shocks for sports cars and different for this. And he said they really don't work that well. So he said, I wonder if we wouldn't have any hardware or material constraints, how good could a shock absorber system be?
Mm-hmm.
And so he basically spent 5 years doing mathematical modeling of what was possible with shock absorbers, and he realized that the current systems were absolutely terrible. So he came up with sort of this high-speed electromechanical system, which were like motors built in there, and there were sensors, and they would respond to what the car was doing, and you could actually he actually 24 years in research, and he finally released it.
Wow.
He said, if he were a publicly traded company, the stockholders would never let him work on a project that he really didn't know if he could sell it when it was done for 24 years. Mm-hmm. But he said, we're just using research to build better products, and I'm not really in it for the money. I'm in it for the innovation. And so it turned out to ultimately be a big success for him, and that was kind of a surprise. I didn't really know about that element, the Bose suspension system.
No, I didn't either.
Then he invented another waveguide speaker technology. See, one of the issues when you want it to, traditional speakers have these vibrating cardboard pieces in them that are driven by magnets, and they're not impedance matched to the air that's around them, and that means that basically it takes more energy to transfer the vibrational energy in the speaker to the air, and that impedance mismatch forces you to need more energy in the speaker in order to make the air oscillate.
Mm-hmm.
He discovered that if he would have the speakers end in a tapered waveguide, because we know that from electromagnetics, if you have a tapered waveguide, you can transform the impedance slowly, and if you transform it exponentially, you get back no reflection. So he created an impedance transformer that had no acoustic reflection, so it was a very efficient match to the air that was around. He invented the waveguide speaker based on electromagnetics. And the waveguide speaker was real. And then he was able to wrap the waveguide around, and so you could fit it into a little box. And in 1993, he released the Bose Wave Radio,
yep,
which is the waveguide speaker, all sort of built into a box.
Mm-hmm.
It was a case of where he just used his research to solve something that was interesting. Now, according to Amar Bose students, the value of what he teaches is not so much of the things that he invents, but it's the sense of possibility that he inspires. He inspires in people that no matter what the problem is, just be curious about it, and you can probably solve it. And so, actually, many of his students have gone on to be great innovators and inventors. He defines his innovative success by two words: insatiable curiosity. He just questions everything. His company slogan is Better Products Through Research. Now, Bose Corporation is a privately held company with more than 12,000 employees. It doesn't publish financial records. He is estimated to hold about 60% of the company, and his net worth is nearly, at one point it was $1.5 billion. Now it's dropped below the billion mark. It's around mm-hmm. $800 million. So he's really done quite well, but with him, it's never been about the money. And the reason he did not go public was that he wants to be able to work on the 24-year research project and not have somebody worried about the next quarterly
right.
report.
Exactly.
He remained a professor till 2000. Bose says some of his best ideas come to him in a flash. These innovations are not the result of rational thought, but it's just an intuitive idea that he gets. So there you go. Amar Gopal Bose, the man who founded and is chairman of the Bose Corporation.
One thought. We're running really late on time here, but I wanted to say this. The thing that, that strikes me about Bose that is kind of parallel to what you do at Stratford is that he's taken things that he was interested in and turned and made a career out of things that truly interested him. And
that's
right. Like what you try to do at Stratford University is to take people's interests and help them find a way to have a career with that.
That's right. That's exactly what we do. And we try to teach the same way, too, where we have students work on projects that they're interested in so they can see the possibilities of what they can do. And that actually helps them get a job, which is why 90% of our graduates actually get jobs.
Amazing. We're way behind. Hope you're paying attention. We're going to have the pop quiz right after this. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for America's favorite new game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's the host and star of our show. It's not Bob Barker. It's not Rosie O'Donnell. No, it's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
You thought this was a radio show.
Well, some people listen to it on a Bose radio, so I'd say
no,
yes.
But it's no. It's a classroom of the airways.
Oh.
And when there's a class, and when there's a classroom, there's always a pop quiz.
Yes.
Now, the nice thing about this class and this pop quiz is that if you get the right answer to this pop quiz, you'll win two tickets to fine dining at either the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room down at the Woodbridge.
Mm-hmm.
So, earlier in the show, I was talking about Amar Bose, who, of course, is founder and chairman of the Bose Corporation. What is the first successful product that the Bose Corporation had after he started it in 1964? What is the name of the first successful product?
All right, if you got the answer, you need to dial quickly. The numbers are 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Once again, 877-936-9333. Dial quickly.
Let's talk about net neutrality as we're waiting. Oh, no. I want to talk about the iPhone app of the week.
Right.
The iPhone app of the week, it is the World Lens. Now, this is actually really an interesting iPhone. What it does, you take the World Lens, and it translates any sign from Spanish into English or from English into Spanish. You can actually pick the language. So what happens is that you point it at a sign that says, do not enter, and you'll see a picture of the sign. It actually takes, and you see the same picture, and it simply changes the words from English to Spanish, so it looks like the sign is actually in Spanish. So what people do, they load the World Lens around, and suppose they're walking around in a country that has all Spanish signs. They point their iPhone camera at it, and it translates the signs in real time.
That's amazing.
You can actually download different languages, but you can see, but only English. So wouldn't it be nice you have a Spanish sign? You point yours, you're in a country that only has Spanish signs in the grocery store. You point the iPhone at it, and it pumps up in English. That is the app of the week. Very clever. The World Lens.
Okay. All right. We've got somebody on the phone. Let us go to line number one. This is going to be Richard at Alpha Maryland. Richard, good morning. How are you?
Fine. How are you doing today?
Excellent. Thanks, Doc. Go ahead and ask the question.
Well, earlier in the show, Richard, I was talking about Amar Bose, and he started the Bose Corporation. What is the first successful product that the Bose Corporation had?
901 Bose speaker.
That is correct.
You're a winner, Richard. And if you would please hang on the phone here, Andrew will be right with you to get your information so that we can send you out tickets for two for fine dining at the Escape or at the Karim.
Karim.
Yes. All right.
Very
Thanks, Richard.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Let's talk. Let's talk briefly about net neutrality. This was the big thing on December 21st of last year. The FCC adopted a new set of rules that require all broadband providers to publicly disclose network management practices, and it restricts broadband providers from blocking internet content and applications. And it also bars fixed broadband providers from engaging in what they call as unreasonable discrimination in transmitting lawful network traffic. Now, this particular this is called the net neutrality decision, and it was passed by a vote of 3 Democrats to 2 Republicans at the FCC. You can go to FCC.gov to get the full 6-page ruling. There's a lot of, and you can get all the dissenting opinions and the reasons for and against it. Now, the reasons that the FCC gave for the decision, they said the internet should be open, should be a level playing ground, and it should be designed to make all content equally available to the consumer, regardless of the bandwidth requirements. Now, there's a problem with this particular finding, and I've got serious problems with it. I'm going to explain what they are. Number one, the FCC does not have legal authority over the internet. Now, this was established back by the courts when the FCC tried to chastise Comcast for limiting BitTorrent traffic, which is this peer-to-peer download traffic on their net. And that ruling was thrown out by the courts. Now, the FCC says that their authority comes from this language in the Telecommunications Act of 1996. It's Section 706, actually. It says this provision directs the FCC to encourage the deployment on a reasonable and timely basis of advanced telecommunications capability. Now, that was originally put in place so that rural areas could get phones. They've taken this language and extended it to the internet, and they're saying that if you restrict bandwidth on the internet, you are actually not deploying the telecommunications capability in a reasonable and timely basis. Mm-hmm. The courts have already ruled that this does not include the internet, so I think they're out of scope there. Now, the reasons, other reasons other than a lack of authority that I don't think they should have done this, is that the internet governance from the beginning, it was privatized back in 1994, actually, and the internet governance works quite well. There are sufficient laws in place to protect consumer, and these rulings will have a chilling effect on capital formation, because when companies try to give bandwidth, you know, deliver high bandwidth, they have to calculate a return on investment. Already, there's been a reduction in capital formation capacity since this ruling's come out, because people don't want to invest in broad bandwidth if you can't charge for it.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think if they say they can regulate the internet, they're going to tax the internet.
Uh-huh.
You look at the federal taxes on the phone service, it's pretty hefty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is going to lead ultimately some kind of tax on the internet. So I think we want to keep them out of it. Let's talk about where this is all coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming from this problem of video delivery over the web. Right now, there's a lawsuit between Level 3 and Comcast, where people have dropped their Comcast cable TV, and then they were getting Netflix videos delivered to them, and so there was this huge amount of traffic coming in over the Comcast network. Comcast had what they call a peering agreement between Level 3, which is a backbone provider, in themselves. The peering agreement says we're going to let all traffic pass back and forth as we're equal peers. But it's based on the fact that there's an equitable distribution of traffic. And it turns out that now you got all this traffic coming from Netflix into Comcast. So now it's an asymmetric traffic deal. Mm-hmm. And they've got to basically renegotiate the peering. I think what's going to happen is that they will renegotiate the peering. And I think it's going to work out just fine where maybe the consumer pays an extra 50 cents a month for their Netflix. And I think we should let the market work this out. What's next? FCC will be challenged in court and probably lose again. If Congress wants them to do it, they need to give them the authority. Listen, we almost out of time. We love your emails. Email us at techtalk@stratford.edu. And also go to the Tech Talk homepage to find out about our classes there at Stratford University, www.stratford.edu. And don't forget to download the podcast at techtalkonline.com.
See you next week.
This is a pig and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
Caps host the Carolina Panthers at home tonight at the phone booth at 6 o'clock. That's when we start talking about it tonight on Federal News Radio. Snow ends, becoming windy, 30 degrees in the nation's capital at 10 a.m.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Blueprint for Wealth, a program dedicated to securing your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Now, here's your host, Wayne Zell.
Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this very fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests that are designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show is brought to you by Odin.